Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
We don't smoke marijuana.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
We don't burn our draft cards down on Main Street.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with master executive producer there, David Shurtleff. And it is a beautiful Saturday here in the Pacific Northwest. And, of course, I'm thinking, smelling, and tasting barbecue. David's drooling, by the way. About 20-odd years ago, the pellet barbecue grill came into being. And mostly it was due to a company that was based here about 40 miles south of Portland in a little town of Mount Angel. Today, there are numerous pellet grills and smokers, and they are a mainstay for the weekend warriors and deck commandos. Today on Barbecue Nation, we have Jason Speck. See, I dropped the T. Is that right? Yeah, there
very
you
good,
go.
Very
yeah.
good.
Jason is from Green Mountain Grills, and Jason's got an integral part to play there with Green Mountain Grills, and we're going to talk about that throughout the show, and he's going to share his knowledge and insight with us. Today on The Nation, we'll also be sharing some songs from the Hag. That's right, Merle Haggard. He passed away there on Wednesday, 79 years old in California, died from complications of pneumonia. I think there was probably more complications than that, but that's a nice way to say it. So we're going to be having a little Hag music today. So let's get back here with Jason Speck from Green Mountain Grills. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me be here.
Yeah, it's fun. Give us a little bit about your history. How did you come to be involved with Green Mountain?
Well, I was fortunate enough to know a wise gentleman by the name of David Baker, and he had he's got a knowledge for business. He's just got a knack for it, and I've got an international manufacturing company, and he presented an opportunity for us to collaborate on what I knew of as a new product in a rising industry.
Mm-hmm.
Together we just kind of collaborated with some design ideas, looked at what we thought the future might need. I pulled off of some of my gas experience of cooking and some offset cooking and kitchen cooking with my parents, and collectively we hit some points that we needed to make an exclusive product that wasn't on the market at that time and to be Green Mountain Grills.
Well, it's a great product. The history of Green Mountain from David's perspective, is this just a wild idea he came up with or what?
He also had quite a bit of cooking experience.
Yes.
And he felt that there was a void in the industry and we could fill it, and that's where Green Mountain came from. Truly a passion in cooking.
Mm-hmm. And do you share that passion?
Oh man, it's we get together and we can really put some food out.
So what's the difference? Let's just take it right from the wheels up, you might say. What are some of the basic differences between Green Mountain and some of the other pellet grills? And I'm not, you know, and we're not here to besmirch any other product or anything like that, but you see a lot of Green Mountains around, and they've kind of picked up the slack where the original Traegers have kind of dropped off a little bit.
Well, the industry is, it's growing, and it's definitely changing. I mean, when you have a one-horse pony operation for a lot of years, and then you start getting some competition in there, it drives technology, it drives competition, and whoever has that competitive edge usually is going to win. With Green Mountain, you know, we came up with a lot of exclusive features. We have, you know, they're everything you cook with has fuel of some kind.
Sure.
These are wood pellet barbecues, and came up with an idea to put an alarm in there, you know, before you run out of fuel, because with anything like propane, how do you know when you're out of propane until the burger's not done and you're out of propane? You know,
yeah.
So in this situation, we came up with ideas that would prevent you from running out of fuel. We made a really big cavity in there, kind of similar to some of the best gas barbecues, that the clearance is like, you know, 14 inches. You can put a 25-pound turkey in there. Some of those features are really good. The temperature range was where our focus was at, and we wanted to smoke at a really low temperature, like, say, 150 degrees. A quick little recipe would be a steak at 150 degrees. And then turn for about an hour, turn your barbecue up to 500 and then sear off both sides. It's ridiculously good. But controlling that low temperature is nearly impossible. We've got six full-time engineers that we had since day one still working with us to continue the quality we have. And then also what was lacking was in the propane industry or the direct cooking, you could actually sear stuff. In the pellet industry, before Green Mountain came along, that wasn't possible.
Right.
And now we have a live 500 degree as a top temperature. Actually, our smaller unit goes up to 550 because we geared that towards tailgating, quick, you know, hot and fast type cooking. But now to be able to sear a steak or a burger at a high temperature is really important. But most of all, again, back to the technology that goes into temperature control, these things are as pricey as your highest end oven you put in your house. And that's why a lot of competition barbecue teams and restaurants desire these, because if you set it at 225 degrees to smoke a brisket, it's at 225 degrees for the duration until you hear that low pellet alarm go off and say, put more fuel in there.
Yeah.
But the temperature control is by far the best on the market for our category of products. And that probably is why most people desire them.
You know, it's interesting that you brought up something there, this reverse searing. Now, David and I have laughed about this. I've been doing that for 35 years.
Right.
And up until a few years ago, I probably didn't even know what to call it. It's right. Just the way we did it. We smoked it, then we seared it off and served it.
Right.
You know, like that. And now it's a big thing.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And it's like, well, hell, I've been doing this for a long time. Even my wife, who listens to the show on occasion, she said, well, isn't that the way you've been doing it?
Right.
I said, yeah. So anyway, it's good that people learn that. We just didn't have any really nice name for it.
Right.
It was just the way we did it.
As you noticed, I didn't have a nice name either.
Yeah,
I know what it is.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think Steve Reichlin was the one that, when we first did the show, he came on and he said, well, we're doing this reverse searing now. And he was explaining it. And I thought, well, God, I've been doing that since like 1978. Showing my age there. So tell us how they're made, how you know, you came up with the design, you and David worked together, you looked at these things, you gave us more cavity space for bigger pieces of meat like that. But when it came down to the precision of making it, and one of the criticisms of certain other grills is that they always leaked air, they leaked heat. So how did you combat that in your design?
Well, we took our experience in metal fabrication, not like tin, but actual, you know, 16, 18, 20 gauge metal, and we used a lot of the same molds and brake presses and things of that nature that we already were very familiar with, and we designed or calculated the proper dimensions for the materials that were resourced. See, a lot of issues in manufacturing is, you might make something in standard, you know, measurements, but it's a metric material you're using or something like that. And it creates bigger issues down the road than what you recognize. We worked on these just about 2 years until we actually came to market, to be honest with you. But we just had a lot of precise measurements. We had goals that we wanted to hit, which were, you know, the big cavity. And we wanted a heavier product because, you know, a lot of your big smokers are quarter inch thick steel. I mean, these things weigh thousands of pounds, and we knew we couldn't do that and be a residential product, but we knew that mass and weight were going to be benefits to us. So a lot of it, though, was working hand-in-hand with the engineers. I mean, I have an idea. Dave's got an idea. We have experience. The manufacturer that we were working with didn't have a whole lot, and so we had to help them come to our way of thinking, and they brought their engineering to our way of thinking, and that's how we bridged the gap.
So is there a big pile out in the back somewhere of all this stuff that you tried and didn't work?
Successful businesses don't have a lot of trash.
Okay. I've never heard that before, but that's good. You know, because I've been to some manufacturing places, not so much barbecue, but other places, and reluctantly sometimes, but with good humor, they'll take you in the back and they'll say, well, this is the stuff that didn't work. And you know, it's like looking at the History Channel when they have these flying saucers and planes and stuff that they spent, you know, $100 million on, and it got 6 inches off the ground. And then that was the end of it. So, you know, that works okay.
Paper is a lot cheaper than metal.
Yeah, it is. It is. Before we take a break here, I want to tell our listeners about why do more barbecue enthusiasts choose Bear Mountain barbecue pellets? It's because the way they're made, the Bear Mountain barbecue pellets produce a light, delicate smoke that does not overtake the flavor of the meat, and that whether you're using apple, hickory, cherry, or whatever type of finished flavor you're using, it still doesn't totally overpower whatever it is you're smoking or cooking. Bear Mountain pellets have the proper mixture of basewood and flavor wood, giving you the most consistent taste. Isn't this funny? I'm talking about this while you're here in the studio.
Not funny at all.
Yeah, and they don't have any add any flavor oils, which break down over time. I know I use them myself. Bear Mountain Forest products, and you can find them at a retailer next to you. I promise you can. Here's more of The Hag. We'll be back in just a minute on Barbecue Nation.
An Okie from Muskogee, a place where even squares can have a ball. We still wave old glory down at the courthouse.
It's full-flavored radio, Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT, along with Super Slider there. What is your name, by the way? Oh, yeah, David Shurtleff. Yeah, he's our master producer. Today we have got Jason Speck from the Green Mountain. What would you call it? Green Mountain Grills? Green? I know you've got proper names, but the whole, you know, you're kind of spreading out doing some other things, too.
We're actually Green Mountain Products, but Green Mountain Grills. And if you ever see my rigs or advertising, it's Green Mountain Pellet Grills, just to be able to let people know what version of a grill we are.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Now, you were telling me off the air that you do sponsor some teams and stuff.
Yeah.
And how's your success rate with that?
It's been very good. And I believe it was at the Jack, I believe, we had a gentleman that pulled a perfect score on chicken on our Davy Crockett pellet barbecue.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Good for you. So, and do you go or sponsor local competitions here in the Northwest?
We do. We do. I put one together with the city of North Plains. It was called the Smokehouse Summit maybe 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Gigantic draw, very successful event. But I also get involved with the Pacific Northwest. We do a big event down in Southern Oregon. Drawing a blank on the name of it, but it's at the casino down there, and it's a really, really good one.
Down in Canyonville, that way? Or?
It's actually in Coos Bay.
Coos Bay, okay.
Yep, and it's a great event. But outside of those big events, we also look at the individuals that want to use our product and go and help us spread the word, but also have a lot of success, and those are the teams that we actually will maybe outfit with some pellets or maybe some sauces, rubs, maybe even a barbecue if they want to, you know, get pretty far into it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. So... You design them. You help design them. Mm-hmm. You and Dave design mm-hmm. them. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your cooking prowess mm-hmm. on the Green Mountain.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's your best thing you can cook?
Everything.
Everything. I like that. As a humble guy, too.
The thing I like to cook the most, I'm not going to lie to you, I cannot get over pork ribs. I just love pork ribs.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. You got the little... rib saver too, right?
I
here
do.
On your chin.
I do.
If you don't know what that is, that's a little beard, little thing here that you can have lunch and breakfast at the same time.
It's true.
And I've had them before, so I can legally say that. And what about Dave? Dave's a crazy man on the grill.
Dave's number one by far. It's also a rib, but a rack of lamb. He can do it amazingly well.
That's great.
And But you go and sit down at the dinner table with them. It's not like let's share a rack of ribs with three or four. It's everybody gets their own rack of lamb, and you eat that rack of lamb. Yeah, it's amazingly good.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Can I get invited?
Maybe.
Okay.
Depends how the rest of the day goes.
See how that next 40 minutes goes? Okay. We can do that. By the way, I was supposed to say you can email us at barbecuenation@kxl.com. That's bbqnation@kxl.com or recipes@kxl.com, and want to say hi to a couple of our affiliates, KBKR in Baker City and KWRO, not KKWRO, down in Coos Bay. So there, took care of a little housework there. Mm-hmm. And we have a Facebook page too, don't we, David?
We sure do. You just go to Facebook and put in the search bar, Barbecue Nation with JT.
There you go. So you do ribs, you do all this stuff, and you support people. How overall has Green Mountain been accepted? I mean, no fooling and no insults to anybody here, but this was Traeger country for years.
I had to spearhead a very serious operation to get our foot in the market.
Yes.
as much as a lot of people think that Traeger was a competition, it really wasn't. Our competition was outside of pellets. You know, it was anything gas, charcoal, wood, something other than automated pellet cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But I really was faced with a big challenge in the Northwest. I mean, I'm here in Portland, been here for a number of years. That's where I actually launched this whole thing from. And Dave was, you know, happened to be in Northern California. We had probably the biggest uphill battle because of Traeger Nation, if you will. It was hard to get into the stores and express to them that, hey, there could be something out there. I don't necessarily know that it was better, but there was reasons why you would want to sell this product. And it was hard to come in there and have people trust me. So I was like, okay, how about you use a barbecue for a week? Or what I really got smart on was, how about I start cooking? If I got a background in cooking, my family's always cooked. My parents are entrepreneurs. I could go out there and probably take some classes, get a little better at cooking, and then go and put my name on Green Mountain Grills. And we came up with a cook team of Team Green Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And some relatives got involved, and we kept it family. And we had a lot of success. I wouldn't say that we were the best team by any means.
Sure.
But for somebody to go from a backyard cooker to somebody who can actually compete week in and week out, it spoke volumes. And when you show a retailer, hey, I got a trophy here for, you know, number one whole hog cooking in the Northwest. You know, yeah. We got number one ribs and salmon. And how'd you cook that? Green Mountain Grill. Put a little sauce, put a little rub, and let the grill do its job.
Sure.
That helped us tremendously.
Good. So the Weekend Warriors, now that's who, you know, that's who listens to this show, mm-hmm. for the most part. Mm-hmm. That's who buys the most grills, not mm-hmm. just here in the Northwest, but all over the
right.
country. So you've been in this business now long enough. What are some of the things that the Weekend Warriors come to you with and say, prior to buying and then after buying? Prior to buying being like, I'm looking for something I can do, you know, X, Y, and Z on. I'm not very proficient. I'm not skilled yet. They will be at some point, mm-hmm. hopefully. And then after they've bought it, they come in and say, you know, I always have a problem with cooking whole chickens or something, mm-hmm. you know, whatever the issue is. So how do you deal with that at Green Mountain? And what do you recommend for people?
Well, our number one thing is we recommend people to use patience with our product. It's very easy to use, extremely easy to use, and a lot of people overthink it, opening the lid, trying to complicate things, trying to bring different things into their environment, when really, if they use some seasonings, whatever their taste buds like, you know, salt and pepper is a good base, go from there.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be patient, let the cooker do its thing at the temperature, and we always recommend utilizing our recipes online because it gives you a footprint to kind of build off of.
Okay. We're going to take a break here in a minute, and we're going to be back with Jason Speck from Green Mountain Grills. And we're going to put Jason through his paces today with, you know what that is? The lightning round. You ever heard of that?
I'm in.
It's world famous. Only on this show.
I'm in.
Do you have the lightning round?
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do it. It's good. And we've got some more stuff coming up. We're going to be telling you about some competitions that are on the way, not particularly here in the Northwest, but around the country. And probably Green Mountain is represented there, I'm pretty sure. All right, we'll be back. Here's more of The Hag.
There ain't no kind of cure for my disease. There's times I'd like to bed down on the sofa and let some pretty lady rub my back and spend the early morning drinking coffee and talking about when I'll be. Bonnie was a waitress in a small cafe. Clyde Barrow was the rounder that took her.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT on FM News 101.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network and KXL in beautiful downtown Portland. We are with Jason Speck today from the Green Mountain Pellet Grills. No, we're not going to cook a nutria. Sorry about that. Anyway, I had to throw that in there. You know, when you come up with recipes, who works on your recipes? You don't have that many on your website, but the ones you have are really good. And, like your firecracker salmon here. And you told me that that was in the note that was dedicated to your mom, I think.
Yeah, it was actually from my mom, yeah.
From your mom, like yeah. that. Your recipes are really kind of intrinsic, but they're really good, and the pictures look really good. Now, I haven't had a chance to do any of these.
Yeah.
But do you develop those as Dave, or do you have people submit them, or what?
So we've collaborated on a lot of the recipes. Dave and his family have submitted quite a few. I've submitted quite a few. We actually, back in maybe it was 2009, 2010, we actually had a recipe contest.
Uh-huh.
So we posted, you know, whenever we got permission for the say top five or so, those were included in there. And then a lot of it, like pellet fried chicken. Dave just comes up with this idea. He loves to cook. And hey, let's make fried chicken on the pellet barbecue. And he comes up with a recipe. So a lot of it is just we kind of get it on a whim.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. I mean, that's how some of the best recipes are done.
Right.
I mean, I've been doing this stuff a long time. And, you know, it's one of those things where you look and the recipe is pleasing. It looks great. It tastes fine. But then when you get, you know, nut jobs like us, you're sitting there going, I could fix that just
right.
a little. I could, you know, put a little ginger in it or
right.
whatever.
Right.
And then it's like, well, now it's my recipe, but also it's Mobetta.
Yeah.
It's Mobetta like that. It works out good. How does the Green Mountain stack up price point wise? And I don't expect you to give the numbers, but just give us some ballparks. You know, people listening to this show, if they've never seen a Green Mountain, never used one, but they're interested in one, what can they expect? Because you've got a wide range of machines too.
We actually have a very what we consider a pretty small range. We only have mm-hmm. three different sizes.
That's a wide range for some companies, though.
Yeah, I agree. And plus, we have three models in the three sizes.
Yeah.
So it gets a little complicated if a buyer's looking at it. But the number one thing to think of is, is it a couple people? Is it a family of four or a family of six? And that's kind of how our Davy Crockett, little portable, maybe for a family of two or tailgating. Comes in at $399, which in the industry is extremely competitive. Probably the least expensive quality barbecue that's out there. And then the Daniel Boone, which is our bread and butter. I mean, 60% of our business is definitely the Daniel Boone in a version one or the other. It comes in at $549. And then it comes in at $599, but we have a current promotion at $549. If you wanted to, and we haven't touched on it yet with our Wi-Fi controls, which takes cooking to a whole nother level, then the price point would go up to $759. Compared to our competitors, they're all $699 to $799
sure.
at that 400 square inch barbecue, and not near as many bells and whistles, and definitely not Wi-Fi. So we stack up very good there. And then our Jim Bowie, which is our 600 square inch barbecue, family of six. It's what's on my deck and down below my house. I prefer to cook on that, and that comes in at $799. Or if you had a Wi-Fi version, it would be $999. So again, comes in extremely competitively against anybody that's out there manufacturing.
That's a very good segue, because next on my list of questions was about the Wi-Fi. I'm fascinated by that. And a friend of mine got one of your grills for Christmas, and I went over and gave him a couple of cooking lessons.
Oh, good.
And but he has the Wi-Fi unit and stuff on it. And I said, well, you know, if you're going to do that, you get my wife here, because she's the tech genius mm-hmm. in the family, you mm-hmm. know, like that. But I was really fascinated by that. And it makes a lot of sense because of the convenience. You know, you're coming home from work, whatever. You know, you can preset it. You can get it hot going before anything is happening. So you're ready to roll. That's one of the complaints that we get from listeners and from, you know, just friends, that they love using charcoal, but it takes so long to get it up to heat. And they say it doesn't, but we all know that it really does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's fine. But with the Wi-Fi, you know, you can just like everything else, kind of pre-program it now and off you go.
Yeah, the this is something totally credited to Dave's son, Jason. And he really came up with the idea, collaborated with some people within the company, and then we actually had to develop a different division just to manage this because it blossomed into something quite large. The convenience factor is amazing. You know, I got to give a correction, though, is I don't think we're going to be able to actually start a barbecue remotely due to liabilities. As nice as it would be, and I'm sure somebody will hack into it somehow and make
yeah.
it work, but we also have to protect our assets.
You know? Sure, and, sure, sure.
But to be able to monitor it, here's a good explanation of where the Wi-Fi would work. If you have a 15-hour brisket recipe, which you can look at ours online, Kansas City-style brisket, if you have that thing going and you have six different temperature settings, let's say that cooking profile, that Wi-Fi is going to operate for you because you programmed it that way. If you leave to go to the store to, I don't know, you have to get some more, whatever it is, apple juice or beer, whatever your
beer. Cup of tea is.
So you, and you're gone, you can monitor this thing wherever you're at. But most of all, if you turn off your phone or something like that, you come back in and the barbecue is smart enough to keep that data on board. So when you sync your phone back up again or your iPad back up again, it's going to tell you what step it's on, because literally that automation continues working when you're not even there. So it's really nice. You will never have on Thanksgiving dinner an overcooked turkey again. Because you can tell.
Where in the hell were you when I was growing up and my mom put those
we won't get into age.
succulent birds on the table.
Right.
All right, I think it's time for the lightning round, don't you, David? Yeah, here we go. All right, Jason Speck from Green Mountain Grills. Are you ready for your lightning round today?
I'm ready.
All right, buddy. What's the biggest problem with cooking outdoors this time of year?
The biggest problem is too much beer.
Okay. I love that. What is easier for you to cook in the winter, early spring, beef, pork, or chicken?
Pork.
Pork? Is that your favorite?
Pork is my favorite.
Yeah, I know you like the ribs, but you like the other parts of the pig too?
I can make a mean, mean whole hog, pulled pork, ribs, tenderloin, you name it.
Okay. What's the worst thing about grilling or barbecuing in the winter for the backyarders, the amateurs, if you will?
The worst thing is the weather conditions outside if you don't have Wi-Fi.
Okay, very good. Is there anything you can or won't cook in your smoker besides Jell-O?
I would cook Jell-O.
You would, yeah?
Yeah.
It melts.
I would try it.
Okay.
But actually, I have a cold smoker that would actually be able to smoke Jell-O without melting it, so
okay.
I would try it.
Okay, the next time we talk, I want to know how that works out for you. If we made you czar of barbecue for 1 week, what would you decree?
Pork.
That's it? You just decree pork?
Yep.
What is the best day for Jason Speck contain outside of going to work? What would your perfect day be?
I enjoy work. I really enjoy my family, to be honest with you. And we have to have a barbecue doing something.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's legal.
Mm-hmm.
Is there one thing you wished you had never eaten?
Oh, man, I was in China one time and I had some turtle stew that my wife and I both probably wish we never had.
Stay with you for a short time, did it?
It was weird texture. It looked weird because you could see a flipper in there, and it hung with us for at least 24 hours.
There you go. Yeah. Great. I'm glad to know that. Who would you like to cook for you if you could pick anybody in the world?
Well, David Baker, is I love his food, but Gordon Ramsay. I really would like to have a little action with Gordon. Yes.
A little action with Gordon?
Yeah.
Okay, boxers or briefs?
You know, I'm in between.
Yeah, are you?
Some days.
Commando?
No, I don't commando. Nope.
Okay. Do you ever cook outside in the snow in your underwear?
Yes, actually, I have. We had 2-inch thick steaks, and I had to monitor those in my underwear in Sun River, Oregon.
Did it work?
I mean, amazingly well for an overcooked steak.
Okay, favorite favorite band or musical group?
Something country.
Something country?
Eric Church, actually.
We got the Hag on today there, so. God bless you, Hank.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite beverage in the winter when you're cooking?
Well, Coors Light.
Coors Light. Mm-hmm. Okay. Best advice for winter weekend warriors out on the grill?
Just probably patience.
Just patience?
Yep.
Okay.
Because then you can drink and you can cook.
Yeah, you just drag it out.
Yes.
That's all you're doing.
That's what patience is.
I mean, you're not fooling anybody. You're just, I got six more left and dinner will be in 2 hours. Final question. If you could cook for anybody in the world, who would you choose to cook for?
If I could again, it would be my mom. She passed away last year, and I'd really like to be able to do that.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but that's a good answer.
Yeah,
that's a good answer. Okay, Jason Speck from Green Mountain Grills. I think you passed the lightning round today. And speaking of Barclays, if you're down Woodburn Way and you're cruising down 99. Big, it'll be on your left-hand side, great big red store. It says Barclays Buy Sell Pawn right there. Go in there and look around. There is some cool stuff in there besides, you know, the musical instruments and things you would normally see. I was in there yesterday just poking around, and they had this huge burl. Came out of northern Idaho. Guy worked on it for 5 years, buffing it, sanding it, doing it in. It was, you know, so you just see weird things in there like that. So that's Barclays down in 99 there in Woodburn. We're going to take a break. Bonnie and Clyde's coming up with the Hag, and we'll be back on The Nation right after this.
Cloud in the city, and the countryside's a sin, and the price of life's too high to give up. Gotta come down again. Worldwide war's over and done, and the dream of peace.
It's Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy.
Free bubble up. That rainbow stew.
Welcome back to The Nation. That would be Barbecue Nation here on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT, along with David Shurtloff and our special guest today from Green Mountain Grills, Jason. David. That's David. You're Jason.
Yes,
that's
I am.
Right. Okay, I've got it right now. Jason Speck. Are you a golfer?
I golf a little bit here.
You golf
there.
A little bit mm-hmm. here? Okay, well, I wanted to tell you something really quick. I'm going to throw this in. The Woodburn Junior Golf Program is presenting their third annual tournament. It's on the 16th here in April. And I help them with this a little bit. So that's why I can talk about it. They're still looking for some teams. Oh. If you want to put a team together and do
look
that.
At the dates.
Look at the dates. It's the 16th. It's at the OGA golf course. They have about probably between $5,000 and $7,000 worth of raffle prizes that they've got together. Mm-hmm. So do that. And if you want more information and you want to play or you just want to come have lunch and buy some raffle tickets, you can call them at 503-951-3349.
Mm.
Okay? It's a lot of fun there.
Like
anyway, the reason I was talking about golf, which people get tired of listening to me talking about golf, Masters weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And David came up with a little news bit about golf, Masters, and barbecue.
The traditional champions dinner, which is usually put on by a current golfer, Jordan Spieth is hosting it this year. And his menu for all the old pros will be Texas-style barbecue.
Mm.
And it's a little bit of a departure from what you usually get. Some of the more memorable past entries for the dinner are Angel Cabrera did Argentinian barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy Lyle served up haggis in 1987.
And then they summarily beat the hell out of him.
Phil Mickelson did lobster ravioli. Vijay Singh went with his home country with chicken curry. Mike Weir did wild boar. And then... Bernard Langer did Der Wiener Schnitzel in 1995, and Bubba Watson twice made the meal as boring as possible by doing plain chicken breast and salads in 2013 and 2015.
Yeah, that's, you know, I get that. I mean, he's a health nut and all that stuff, but that didn't go over well. I follow this a lot, and you read the little comments like, yeah, after the dinner, we all went to Arby's or something. You know?
I had more for Bubba. Huh?
Yeah.
He did it twice.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I know the haggis thing with Sandy Lyle did not, no. They were eating a lot of the side dishes, and then they all went out for pizza.
Yeah.
So.
But the wild boar went in there, huh?
Yeah. But, you know, they've done that, and they've done, you know, I think Tiger has done when he was living in California, and when he first won back in, what, 97 or something like that, you know, he did kind of a more California fair fish and that type of thing.
Burgers and shakes in 98 from Tiger Woods.
There you go. No. There you go. Yeah. So I guess you can do, you know, serve whatever you want to serve there.
The Texas barbecue. I like Jordan. I really like his food now, too.
Yeah. No, Jordan. Jordan's good.
Yeah.
Jordan's good.
There's been some argument about can the professional chefs at Augusta prepare Texas barbecue properly?
Oh, God. Here we go again. You know, yeah. You know, if you're not from Carolina or Arkansas, you can't cook a pig, you know. And if you're not from Texas, you can't cook a brisket and all that stuff. You ever run into that?
I have. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I've traveled the nation pretty extensively. And you can ask my wife. I should be 500 pounds. Barbecue is the number one thing I look for. I mean, there's local fare, but it's always different barbecue to see what it is.
Sure.
And I hear a lot of that. Even, like, guys that call in our customer service line, you know, how do I do in North Carolina or Texas this or whatever? And we do the best we can to guide them, but it's up to personal opinion, really.
Yeah, you know, and that's the one thing I've tried to get people to understand. If you like something a particular way, cook it that way, consume it that way, and that's perfectly fine.
Right.
I get a little bent, if you will, when some of these guys are, this is the only way you can do this.
The barbecue Gestapo comes through you.
Yeah. We have ways of making you cook with vinegar. Oh, my God. Well, listen, Jason Speck from Green Mountain, thank you very much. We appreciate you being on the show this week. We're going to put all your info, some of these recipes, on Facebook and on our website. And
you want to hit your website one more time?
GreenMountainGrills.com.
There you go. David Shurtloff, as always, you did a great job. And for me, folks, I appreciate you listening, and we will be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Yeah, we've got McGarian and Bushlack coming up to round out the weekend for you. And Hag's going to get his rainbow stew finally. You know that?
Yeah, I know.
He's off to doing that. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thank you very much.
I'll be dragging gray bubble up and eating that.
Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions, LLC. All rights reserved. Copyright 2016. Barbecue Nation is produced and tolerated by David Shurtleff in production compound 4 High Above the Skyline of PDX. We'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Remember, a good long smolder is better than a 2-minute flameout. See you next week.
Hey, Don. You don't have to get high to get happy. Just think about what's in store. When people start doing what they ought to be doing, they won't be booing no more. When a president goes...